Good afternoon. It's February the 22nd, 2019, and yes, indeed, it's Dan. You can't avoid it, right, if you're going to listen to this podcast channel. And if my voice sounds a bit nasally, I apologize. I just made myself some spaghetti, and I probably included too many onions, and that's fine. When I was at the food bank yesterday, they had a lot of onions and potatoes, and I loaded up, you know. Waste not, want not. The topic of this podcast has to do with being who you are. Now, I'm not talking about the superficial features of identity. And so, you know, I have some water here, so if I drink a little water, don't be too disturbed. I am not talking about the superficial features of identity. I'm not talking about race, although race seems to be an obsession these days. I'm not talking about which gender you think you are. I don't know which gender you think you are. I know I am a male human being. I know that I have my own, I guess, sexual preferences when it comes to the female body, but most of them are fairly mundane. I know that I'm mostly Irish, and I don't really care. I mean, I'm mostly Irish. I actually found out recently that my grandfather was not my grandfather on my mother's side, which is interesting. It's one of it's a fallout or an outcome of the whole 23andMe personal genetic testing bullshit, which I still refuse to do. Though pointless, because the Army made sure back in the 90s to take my DNA, so it's not as if I'm not on file someplace. It's just that I don't intend to be any more helpful to the giant crocodile than I have to be. And whether you call that crocodile the government or the government corporate complex, whatever the fuck you want to call it, I don't intend to help, you know? So yes, I'm Irish, but that's not necessarily who I am. I am almost 50 years old. And one of the forms of identity that gets really, that we all get suckered into in America these days is this whole generational tranche. You know, are you a millennial? Are you X generation? Are you, you know, a baby boomer? Are you part of the greatest generation? My dad was part of the greatest generation. And some of those people are still alive, although they are slowly but surely disappearing, because despite all the bullshit about living forever, a lot of the people I know still die, at least men, somewhere between the age of 70 and 80. So, yeah, I suppose they're living a bit longer. Although the question is, what's the last 10 or 20 years like for a lot of these people? And that's a whole nother question. But no, I don't define myself purely in terms of my generation. We do get suckered into this superficial identity politics, and I think it's mostly bullshit. I'm not saying your culture is crap. If you're Irish and you enjoy your Irish culture, that's your own fucking business. If you're gay, you know, and I'm going to use the word gay, if you prefer, if you want to say lesbian or bi, or whatever you might be, if you're trans, I don't give a fuck. It is your fucking business. If you like to go to a gay bar up on Broadway in Seattle, up on Capitol Hill, and hang out with a lot of gay people, that's your fucking business, okay? That's not my business. I don't care. You know, it's not my thing, but guess what? There's a lot of things I do that probably aren't gay things, including the fact that I have zero interest in... I was about to be a bit of a stereotyper, but I was going to say I have zero interest in fashion. I don't. I don't know the last time I bought clothes. I think it was sometime in 2015. And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but that's not far off, really. So if you're homosexual or gay or lesbian, queer, whatever word you want to apply, I don't know that that's who you are on the inside, but that is something that you carry around, and if you care about it, that's fine. That's your business. If you get into issues of rich versus poor, you know, class warfare, I don't get into that because I know that there are a lot of poor people who are not noble through poverty. Poverty does not make them more noble, and neither does being rich. You know, being poor or rich does not make you good or bad. It is, in fact, something that is based on a combination of factors. You know, economic factors, factors that involve your own personal choices. It isn't that simple. And so when people create these weird conflicts between the rich and the poor, I shake my head, because it's not simply that it's counterproductive, but it's another one of these ways of dividing people at a time in human history where people should try to find some kind of common ground. So this podcast is about, you know, being okay with who you are, but it isn't necessarily a podcast about being a snowflake or identity politics. This is a podcast about insider-outsider scenarios, about being on the periphery. For the general culture of Seattle these days, the general perspective of what it means to be a good, decent person in Seattle, I am as far outside that world, I think, as you can possibly get. I do not revel in the way that technology is dehumanizing people. I mean, I work in technology when I can work, but I don't believe that technology is innately good. It's also not innately bad. It ought to be a tool that we use, but when I see a lot of people walking down the street staring at their smart devices, I look at them and it seems to me that they're being used. So I am not like a lot of people here. I don't fit into a neat political group. That's another one of these forms of identity. I, for one, and I don't think I'm alone, I think there are others like me, I don't fit into Republican, I don't fit into Democrat. There was once a day and age where I would have said, I'm a small government Republican, or I'm a libertarian, which in a lot of ways, there's not a huge difference between actual small government Republicans, the two or three that are left, and libertarians. They generally believe a philosophy that is called minarchy, the belief that if the government's small enough, if the crocodile is small enough, and if the crocodile sticks to things like dealing with murderers and rapists and thieves, then the crocodile's okay, and you pay it a little bit of money, it never gets very big, and it sticks to dealing with thieves and criminals and rapists and, you know, people that abuse children. But it never goes beyond that, you know. The minarchist point of view is very attractive, and it's one of the reasons why people never end up getting to anarchism, because it is attractive, this belief that we can have a tiny little crocodile that never gets bigger. It's a lot like that movie Gremlins back in the 80s, where as long as you don't feed it after midnight, which when you think about this logically, it's always after midnight. They never really say, I guess they might have said between midnight and dawn, but the point is, as long as you don't feed the gremlin between midnight and dawn, the gremlin never gets that big, and so you don't have to worry about it. And that is the minarchist perspective when it comes to government. So I used to be one of those. These days, I call myself a philosophical anarchist, and I am, but I'm also a practical anarchist. I do not have the ability, the capability, to take on the government, nor do I want to. I don't believe you defeat one kind of bully by becoming another kind of bully. I don't think that that's a feasible strategy. So my own personal strategy is to try to find a place in this world where I can exist, where I can continue to think, where I might have a little bit of free speech, whatever tiny little slice of free speech still exists. I might find some. I might have a few friends. I might be allowed to worship Christ and not in some official government church, because a lot of these churches are starting to seem like, they're very much starting to seem like sanctioned churches, but actually just in a church where I can freely worship the Lord in heaven. That is my strategy. I don't want to harm other people, although in this life, when we make choices, we often run the risk of harming people. It isn't a perfect world. But to the best of my ability, I just simply want to be left the fuck alone to live my life, to eke out an existence. I don't even have delusions of having very much wealth in this life beyond what I have now. And if you could actually see how I live, you'd realize that most of my shit fits in about three bags. Also doesn't bother me. I don't need a lot of stuff, And I'm not against you having stuff. If you have a beautiful boat, a beautiful home, if you have a farm someplace and, well, someplace, right? And you're able to live off the grid and grow your own food, I applaud you for that. And I think that's respectful and good. And, I think God smiles when people are prosperous. Some of us don't end up becoming prosperous. It happens that way. You can say it's all because we made stupid decisions, and I think there's truth to that. I put my faith as a young man in the wrong fucking things. I went into the military. That was a terrible decision. I wish I had never had. But again, that wasn't something I was forced to do. That was a choice. You make choices, there are consequences. I went to college. Looking back, I really wish I would have never gone to university. For all of the bullshit around how you can't get a job without a degree, I gotta tell you, these days, for someone in my demographic, having a degree or, God forbid, 3 degrees like I do actually works against you. It's basically the case where if I go to an interview for a job in software engineering in Seattle, the most likely scenario is I'm surrounded by people that I have zero in common with in terms of every single demographic variable, whether it's ethnicity, whether it's age, and including income level now, because I have been poor for a while and I don't think that's going to change. So people will just smile and they'll think it's funny. It's like if you tell them, I can't go to lunch because I can't afford to, they think that's funny. They think that's funny, like it's a curiosity, like they're watching Willy Wonka on TV. But it's not actually that funny, and it is a reality. So I will have people tell me, especially they'll listen to my podcasts and they'll say things like, and they'll do this by email, they'll do this by email, and it's okay. They'll say, Dan, why can't you be nicer? Why can't you be nicer? Why can't you just not use dirty words? Those dirty words, if you stop saying dirty words, people would probably listen more. Why can't you be more positive? If you were more positive, if you talked more about things that could make people feel good about themselves and that reality is all okay, then maybe you'd have more listeners. And in truth, yeah. I mean, that's undoubtedly the case. If I told people in my podcasts what they wanted to hear, I think that I would probably have double, triple, quadruple the number of listeners, Lots of people would want to hear Dan's daily uplifting podcast about how everybody and everything is okay. Well, there's a problem with that. That's not who I am. And whether you like who I am or not, I don't care. Fuck you. Okay? If you want me to be okay with who you are, then please, I don't give a fuck if you tell me that you don't like who I am. But yeah, that is not who I am. The Inquisitor will say, why can't you be this and why can't you be that? And my question back to the Inquisitor is, well, why can't you do the same? And this usually freezes the questioner. Like the questioner usually has to pause because I'm not saying to them, oh, you're just some identity variable, like you're gay or you're a woman or you're a man. Or you're black, or you're, Asian or Mexican. I don't even do that bullshit. Even if they're Danish, I don't go there. My question back to the person who says, why can't you be different, is their question. I echo the question, why can't you be different? Why is it you need me to be like you? What about your existence is so broken, so fragile, so incapable of being consistent, that you require everyone to be like you? And that usually causes a pause. If I'm having a conversation with a Seattle normie that, just got back from Value Village and wants to talk about how their home was reappraised at $1 million. They want me to tell them, oh yeah, you know, I'm getting ready to buy a home, and it, you know, it's going to cost me 500 grand to get 200 square feet, and the foundation is cracked, and they think that six people were murdered in the basement, but it's going to be a great deal, and I'll double my money. They want me to say shit like that. But I don't, because it's not true. So the question back to the person who is the inquisitor, the grand inquisitor of, in my case, the general ideology of Seattle, is why can't you be different? And I'm doing this rhetorically because I want to show them both how silly and really how disgusting a question that is. When I was growing up, I actually believed that the United States of America was a place where people could be who they were. That doesn't mean they could go in front of people and show them their junk and poop on their head. I'm not talking about, you know, being who you are in a way that is aggressive and directly offensive to other people. That's not free speech, that's assault, okay? I'm talking about the voluntary reality that if I'm a weirdo, I get to be a weirdo and you get to make the choice to not associate. But that's where it's left. And if I'm the only weirdo like me, then maybe I am left to live in a cabin in the woods. But you know what? That is still a life. That's still an existence. But something's happened, and maybe it was always the case. Maybe it was just, you know, it's death by slices. But something's happened in recent times that we're no longer allowed to be different, because this is what the Inquisitor says next. They say to you, well, everyone is like me, or at least most people. And so if you're not like us, you know, you're not respecting the essential democratic wisdom of the people, and therefore you're, you know, committing some assault, the fact that you're not like the rest of us. And the cheapest thing they'll say, and this is what they'll do, I've already been accused of it multiple times, is they'll say, well, you practice hate speech because you say things that make some people feel bad. And I know it's a difficult thing to explain that your computer has an on-off switch, that your browser has a button that allows you to close it, that you can navigate to other places, that you can take off the headphones. You have any number of options when it comes to hearing me of just to stop. Okay? I am not forcing anyone to listen to me. Believe me, I am not. Okay? So you have the choice. So if you're going to say, well, you know, I'm assaulting you, well, how am I doing that precisely? How am I harming you? Excuse me. How is my existence a hate crime? Because it's beginning to seem like that. Now, do I get angry? Oh, fuck yeah. I get angry. And I would even contend that there are times that my anger reaches the point of hate. Do I sometimes send emails with, you know, with words in them that essentially declare my feelings and belief towards other people? Absolutely. And like with any other technology, a person can read or not read, delete or not delete. But yeah, I sometimes do that. Do I say things about some groups of people that can sound like hate speech? It's possible. I think some people think I hate gay people because I just don't jump on the let's all be happy about where we stick our junk train. Listen, what I do with my junk, aka my private parts, my genitalia, is between me and the non-girlfriend I have and God. It's got nothing the fuck to do with you. I'm not gonna take dick pics. I'm not gonna make you see my junk. It's none of your fucking business. Whether my junk works or not is also not your fucking business. So a lot of the quote unquote wars of sexuality seem a lot like bullshit to me. Okay? What you do in the privacy of your own home with your junk, whether it's another person who has the same kind of junk or someone who has different junk, I do not give a fuck. If you come over to my place and demand that I look at you and your junk and what you're doing with it, that's when I have an issue. I don't demand any person listen to me. And by God, I will not countenance being forced to put up with your bullshit either. There is a general perspective, and if you don't believe it, if you don't accept it, you're a weirdo. And it's strange because we are now living in America, and I know I've said this in other podcasts, but it bears repeating. Whether it happens or not, and I believe it happens every day in America, I can't prove it, but based upon my intuition, my instincts, I believe it does happen. And I believe it happens illegally, and no one reports it. But it is the case that a governor of a state, the state of Virginia, rationalized and explained why it would maybe soon be legal, and perhaps is already legal, for a baby to be born and then euthanized. Now, for years and years and years, especially when I called myself a small government Republican, I would go through these gyrations in my head about how, well, you know, abortion is the law of the land, and it's a woman's body, and especially when I was married, you know, when I was married, there are things you do to have sex, and there are things you do to maintain a marriage, and I don't want to go into all of them right now. But one of the things you sometimes do, and I definitely did this throughout my entire marriage, not just at the end vis-a-vis marijuana, but throughout my entire marriage, I more or less denied who I was to make the marriage work. But, you know, I would accept these weird arguments about abortion, like, hey, you know, abortion, it is what it is, blah, blah, blah. But I cannot for the life of me understand how people can think about a baby being born and then killed. The very first thing that happens for that child is that child's eyes open to a world. And that child sees a light. And that child sees adults. And that child, even if there isn't much consciousness there, I know there are doctors who will say, well, there's nothing going on, Dan. The brain is too active. The connections aren't there. It's the same argument they use with ritual abuse, you know, aka circumcision. And yeah, I was circumcised. And do I think the circumcision caused damage? Yes. Can I prove it? Well, in America, proving anything against the medical industrial complex isn't so easy if you're an ordinary schmuck. So I cannot prove that a baby would be aware that it's about that it is being killed. I cannot prove that. But I have to say, whether I can prove it or not, the idea that this could be a normal thing, that people could say, well, this is okay, Dan, because it's a woman's right. Is it really? Is it anybody's right to kill a baby once it's born? I mean, you can tell me all kinds of bullshit about abortion and I'll listen. Because again, I try to stay open-minded despite the fact that most people, especially in Seattle, are closed-minded as fuck. But how do you rationalize this? And why is it now I am the bad person because I don't think that that's okay? You see, this is the thing about the insider-outsider phenomena when it comes to either real or perceived majorities. And what I mean by real or perceived, let me explain. I do not know for a fact because I don't have the money to do the study or to do the polling, and also because I don't really trust the people that do polling, I don't know for a fact if my beliefs are part of the incredibly small minority, and I think that that's probably true, or if there is a fairly large group of people who still might technically be a kind of minority who believe the same thing. I don't know if what I believe is believed by 1% of the population, 10%, 50%, I have no way of knowing. So the insider-outsider phenomena, the thing about being the freak, is that sometimes it's real, which means that for whatever reason, and sometimes it is a result of madness, your way of seeing the world is so radically different from the tribe, so to speak, that there is never going to be a common view. Like, you're always going to be on the outside. And in a healthy society, assuming a non-dangerous crazy person, someone who's not hurting other people, you would think there'd be space for that person even if their perspective is wild and crazy. But I think in America today, they convince people that they're the freak. They're the minority because that's an easy way to control people. If everyone is being told that everyone is having sex all the time, then yeah, you'd feel like a freak if you weren't having sex. If everyone, excuse me, like I said, those onions, I shouldn't have done it right. But if everyone is being told all the time that everybody thinks abortion is kind of okay, then you're the freak if you don't. But how do you know that's true? Because some pollster told you so? If everyone is being told, well, everyone's okay with the gay agenda, and let me explain what I mean by the gay agenda. I don't mean people's right, as I've already said, to do what they want to do in the privacy of their own fucking home. I mean the agenda of going out of your way to take your particular flavor of sexuality and turn it into a political movement. That's what I mean, precisely. And yeah, everyone's supposed to be okay with that because of all these historical crimes. But how do I know that's actually true? How do I know that everyone feels that way? So for example, when it comes to this issue of abortion, and specifically, I'm not going to call it abortion, when it comes to euthanizing a baby after it's born at the request of the mother, how do I know what the percentage of people are that agree with it? I can't imagine it's greater than 20%. I just really can't. If that were true, then I really would have to admit to myself in an absolute sense that I live in a fallen nation, that I live in a nation that should pray there is no God, because if there is a God, and I know there is a God, it's gonna suffer some biblical fucking punishment. This is not the shit you get to do and get away with. But how do I know? How do I know what the majority is? So that's what I mean by the perceived and the real. A lot of us perceive being outsiders, but by the very nature of the control grid and the way it works now, especially through social media, there's no easy way to know where you are in terms of the quote-unquote majority or the minority, at least as far as perspective goes. And that's why when someone says to me, "Why can't you be more like us?" it isn't just a question of accepting who you are. I am who I am. I know it sounds like a Popeye statement, but I am. I have a history. I have a chain of causality that does not deny free will, but in fact represents my context. I came into existence at a certain time in American history. I had a certain kind of family. I grew up in a certain kind of town, and those are features of who I am. Are they exactly and precisely all of who I am? No. But I'm not going to pretend they're not real. I'm not going to pretend they don't exist. And I'm not going to lie to you or to myself about the impact of my own personal history. And yet, I am told by many that I am not simply a weirdo, but I'm a bad weirdo because I won't accept the standard dogma. Because I'm not willing to accept that my only choices are Republican or Democrat. My only choices are bomb Iran or bomb Venezuela. What if I want to choose option three, which is don't bomb anybody? I don't accept the fact that my choice is between respecting anybody's right to exist, which includes a woman, and or saving babies. Like essentially, you can save babies or you can deny women their freedom. Well, I don't think it's that at all. I think that's a bullshit dichotomy. I think, women and men can be free, can have dignity without murdering babies. And I don't mean aborting fetuses, okay? I think abortion is wrong, but it is unambiguously the case that if a baby is born and you kill it, you murdered a baby. I don't care what you fucking call it. You can come up with a lot of fancy names for it, but to me, it's murder. And perhaps it is the worst form of murder. Because while you might accept the notion of original sin, and I do as a Christian, what sin has that baby committed? What crime other than existence has that baby committed? Did that baby commit the crime of a mother and a father fucking? No. That baby didn't have a choice in that. I hate to break it to you, but there isn't some fucking baby conspiracy where babies meet around a table and say, "We're going to make, Tom and Mary fuck each other." That particular conspiracy does not exist. Maybe it does, but boy, it would make a terrible film. It doesn't even make good reality, but it would make a terrible science fiction film as well. But I'm a freak because I see it in those terms. And this is why I thought this would be a good podcast, because I had an incident yesterday as part of an interviewing process where the guy interviewing me, I think he was Indian. I'm fairly certain he had an Indian name, but I'm no expert in the subcontinent, so he could have been Pakistani, he could have been from Bangladesh, but I think he was Indian. He was a total asshole. He barely spoke proper English, but he was constantly upset with me for not understanding him. He broke off during the interview and went to a separate meeting. And at the end of the interview, he did volunteer. Well, I might not be good at interviewing, and that's great. I'm really happy for you, you fuck, that you volunteered that. But you more or less not just wasted my time, but you treated another person with no respect at all. And that's how you think you should treat people. And if those are the kinds of people, on a slightly separate topic, that we really, really need with H-1B visas, fuck, man. Fuck people. What the fuck? We are so royally screwed. And then there's this problem, and it's related to what I just said. So if I say to you, and I'm a weirdo, I'm a freak, well, I kind of think it's wrong to murder babies after they're born. We might have a debate about murdering babies in the womb, but after they're born, probably it's wrong. Well, another asshole will say to me, Dan, you know why the wall is wrong and why we need H-1B visas? Because we don't have enough people to fill the jobs. Well, folks, this is how much of a freak I am. I can use my basic logic to realize that if you murder babies, it is indeed the fucking case that there are people who will never write one computer program. Whether they are male or female, gay or straight, black or white, when you murder a baby, you basically have decided that you don't need that person in your society. That person could grow up to change the world. That person could have been the person that came up with a solution to one of the problems that faces us, whether it's cancer or energy production, or frankly, having food that is healthy. That person could have come up with a means to produce cheap, clean water. And yet, you're telling me we need people, Dan. We have this necessary STEM crisis, and you're the same Seattle fuckers who will rationalize the murder of babies. I'm sorry. That's how much of a fucking freak I am. I don't understand your fucking logic, you fuck. You don't like my language? You think I'm using dirty words? I gotta tell you, when we're done removing all of the violence and crime from the planet Earth, when we all become so decent to each other and live in peace and liberty, when that day comes, then you can come back to me and say, Dan, can you stop using the F-bomb? But as long as we have hydrogen bombs and we're all joking about nuclear war and killing babies after they're born, as long as we're doing fucking shit like that, as long as you're holding a parade where teenage kids are dancing around with adults with their junk hanging out, and you think that's political expression, then guess what? I'm gonna say fuck. I will reserve the right to say fuck. In fact, at times, if I think you're evil, I'll say fuck you. Of course, that will be illegal at some point. Of course, the intelligent people of the world, quote unquote, will figure out a way to make any type of counterthought illegal. Because you can't have freaks. If you're going to make it all just a real Temple Grandin, well-run, well-oiled machine, autistic paradise of chutes and ladders, you can't have fuckers like me who express an independent thought. But as long as I can express an independent thought, I will. And that too, and I'm really sorry about that, and you can tell I'm not really serious about that part of it, that too is part of who I am. I am not like you, and you are not like me. I know that that's scary. I know that scares some of you. I know it scares some of you that it might be the case that people are different in ways that go way beyond race and sex and income level and age. I know it scares you that there might be deeper things that make us different. I know, because you want us to be a streamlined oneness of motherfuckers. And what I'm telling you is I'm not one of those people. And yeah, that probably means that I miss out on people listening to me. That's really sad. And it probably means I miss out on dating women. Oh boy, that's terribly sad. And yeah, is it really though? It might mean I never get married again. It might mean that at some point in the near future, my only option will be not just homelessness, but maybe a camp someplace for the homeless people where they can dig in the dirt all day. It might be the case. I really don't know. I know that the groupthink of Seattle is getting so toxic that if you don't fit into one of these groups, if you don't call yourself a warmongering, well, really, the Democrats and Republicans are all warmongers now. So let's say you're not a warmonger. Let's say you actually think all these wars are shit and they're evil. Well, you piss off everybody in America. Oh, how can you say these wars are shit, Dan? How can you say it's not our divine right to go to Venezuela and free the people? I don't know, folks. I don't like socialists. I don't like Maduro in Venezuela. But it seems to me that we have a lot of work to do here first with respect to freedom and dignity and poverty and other issues before we can feel comfortable going to other places and telling them how to fucking live. But if you are against all the stupid wars that have happened and all the ones to come, then you're definitely a freak like me. And that doesn't mean we're the same, because we're not. It just means that you will be placed in the category of freak because you agree on this particular point that at this point in human history, we ought to be able to resolve our differences without blowing the fuck out of each other. And what's really funny is I believe in self-defense. I consider it a corollary to what I just said. If you live in a world of bullies and you believe every person has a right to their freedom and their dignity, then it necessarily follows that every single person has a right to defend themselves. And I don't mean with an authorized firearm. If you want to have a 3D printer in your house and build weapons without ever registering them, without ever recording them, without any fucking Fed ever knowing, I think that's your right, not given by the government, but given by God. And if you actually read this thing called the Declaration of Independence, I don't know if they still even let kids read it. There were some people in this country that once felt the same way. That you had a right to be who you were as long as you didn't deny that right to others. That is as simple as it gets. But that also makes you a freak. And yeah, like I've said before in this podcast, and I'll say again, if you're not willing to identify yourself as a Republican or Democrat, you're a freak. You don't belong. You have to be one or the other. If you're not willing to participate in the shelter pyramid scheme, aka the housing market, because you think it's immoral, because you think that even though you understand, like I understand, I am at peace with the fact that there are people I love and care about who participate in the housing market. They participate to some extent. And maybe it's as simple as they take advantage of the financial mechanisms so that they can buy a home. I get it. If I had a family, if I had kids, I would be left with the choice of doing what I could do to survive or being a total dick and choosing my principles over my family. It is hard. It is hard because there are people with principles out there who simply have to choose survival and their family over their principles. I'm not defending that either. There's a reckoning for everybody. In my worldview, there's a reckoning with God. So when you die, you're going to have to fess up. You'll have to answer for what you've done, just like I will. But in this life, if you're a parent, you have to do some tough things. But if you have three or four homes and you're flipping homes, I don't care if you have kids, if you have multiple homes and you're flipping homes as your primary means of income, and then on top of that, You don't spend a second wondering if that could be related to homelessness. Yeah, I think you're a very despicable person. Seattle is filled with despicable people. If Hillary Clinton wanted to talk about deplorable, it is fucking deplorable to choose to make a lot of money in the real estate market while people are freezing in the streets. It is deplorable as fuck, especially when a lot of that money comes from tax schemes, from corporate welfare, from Fannie Freddie, from the Federal Reserve. When a lot of that money comes from an illegitimate source to begin with, when it's not a natural and or free market, but it really is just a crony market, and you go into it knowing that money was magicked into existence because a Ben Bernanke or a Janet Yellen or a fucking Powell decides that he's going to magic some money into existence, and you know all of this, and you have those three or four homes, and you're going to get that condo you're going to flip next year for twice the price, I think you're a motherfucker. Would I do anything to harm you physically? No. But I'm not going to stop speaking my fucking mind. And as long as I can speak my mind, as long as there is some tiny sliver of free speech, which there's not much left, I will speak my mind and I will call you a motherfucker. And that also, yeah, that's one of the things that makes me, in Seattle especially, you know, a freak. I don't have my 200 square foot million-dollar home. Now, I think that all of that's unsustainable, but that's irrelevant, you know, because people, I think people are dumber and wiser than they realize. It's sort of a weird duality. I think there are many people who think that they understand the world because they're wealthy. And I think there are many people who feel like they're dumb because they're poor. I would contend that whether you're wealthy or poor, as I said earlier, is complicated. And in some cases, you can say, well, this person is poor simply because they made a lot of shitty decisions. And this person is wealthy because they're good and decent and made a lot of wise decisions. But in America today, I don't think that's the case. I think if you want to be really wealthy, I don't mean eking out a middle-class existence, okay? I don't mean getting by. If you want to be really wealthy in America today, 9 times out of 10, you have to be a shitbird. You have to do really terrible things to your neighbor, either directly or indirectly. And I'll leave it to you to figure out what indirect and direct means. I cannot teach thinking to everybody. I hope some of you can learn a little thinking on your own. So that's kind of how I would close out this podcast, is with that basic sort of meditation. Would you ever be okay if I came to your home and said, my name's Dan, and I think it's a bad idea to eat shellfish. I frankly, to me, eating shellfish, whether it's crab or clams or whatever, to me, it is akin to choosing to go to the nastiest gas station and the nastiest bathroom of the nastiest gas station and the nastiest toilet in that place and to lick the floor around the toilet. That's what I think eating a clam or a crab or an oyster or a shellfish is like. And so if I went to your home and I said, well, you know, I'm not going to allow you to eat shrimp. Well, right, you would have a right to kick me out, and rightfully fucking so. Do I think it's gross to eat these things? Sure, that's me. I don't have a right to make you like me. I use marijuana, and I think it's probably, definitely in moderation, good for people, especially the components that are called or sometimes categorized as cannabinoids. But does that mean I have a right to go to your home and force you to smoke a joint? Hey, buddy, I just busted down your door. I bought this really nice spliff at Uncle Ike's. Maybe I can force you to smoke it. Do I have that right? Well, the simple answer among decent people is no. I have a right to put things in my own body. I have a right to make choices about my own life. I don't have a right to force those choices on you. But I'm telling you, folks, and based upon some of the feedback I've received, it's possible I'll be kicked off of SoundCloud at some point. In fact, the reason why I'm not, if you want to know, in my opinion, is because I'm paying for it. If I didn't pay for SoundCloud, I would have been kicked off a couple months ago. That's a whole nother topic, paying for free speech. That's America now. But yeah, I'm telling you, the time's coming where the people that more or less control our world will say these are the acceptable thoughts. These are the acceptable ways of looking at the world. This is the speech you're allowed to make. I mean, people can make fun of Canada and the whole pronoun thing. Like, you can't say he or she, which is total bullshit. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It doesn't even deserve thought. But yeah, it could get worse than just people outlawing he or she or man or woman. It could get to the point where, simply put, entire constellations of thinking will be illegal because it's not right. It's not right that you express a thought that's different from the group. And the group will be shaped. And a lot of you who stare at your smart device every day and treat it like your God, you're gonna, I was gonna say you're gonna be okay with it. You're gonna lack the capacity to not be okay with it. You're gonna lack the ability to fight back. It's not simply that you'll be okay with it. Many of you are simply lost at this point, but you will be lost. You won't have the ability to even ask the question, am I in a dark room? Should I turn on the light? You won't know that it's a dark room. And of course, I'm using that as a metaphor, but you will not know that you are in darkness because that information will not simply be prevented from getting to you, but you will lack the ability to find it. So yeah, I am who I am. I'm not a big fan of murdering babies. I'm not a huge fan of wars. I believe you have a right to defend yourself with a firearm of your choice. I believe money should be sound. I think this fiat currency is a racket. I think that, people who think that Donald Trump versus Hillary is a sound choice, all I can say is it's a lot like choosing between liver cancer and pancreatic cancer. It's still fucking cancer. And that's what I believe. I believe in God. And I gotta say, I never would have believed this decades ago, but a time's coming when Christians will go underground. I think in a way, Christians already are going underground. I mean, Donald Trump is going to try to make sure that the world makes it legal to be gay, and I think that's great. I think it's great that we have to, in the 21st century, pass a law that allows people to do with their junk in the privacy of their own home. And when I say their junk, I'm talking about adults, not kids. Although people are really stupid about that too. If you're an adult and you want to stick your junk someplace, that's your own business. But I think it's funny that Trump feels like, well, we need the whole world to agree legally. And all this is happening while Christians in China and Christians all over the world, and yeah, I'm a Christian, so I care about Christians, are being abused and murdered and shut up and thrown in prison. But we need to make sure gays feel safe. So no, I do not fit, and I am who I am, and I am okay with that. It could mean that my life gets more and more miserable, and though I'm not really happy about that, I have to accept it. I have to learn to be at peace with it. And what I would ask of you, whoever you are, and I don't care if you're gay or not, I really don't give a fuck. If you're gay and we were drinking a beer, as long as we're not talking to each other about our junk and we're just having a conversation, I don't know why I would care. I don't give a fuck. What you do with your private parts with other adults voluntarily is your own fucking business. So I don't care if you're gay. I don't care what ethnicity you are. And yeah, I got some issues with Danish people, but I don't even fucking care if you're Danish. Your life and who you are is your fucking business. My life and who I am is my fucking business. If you want to break down my door and try to take away my right to be who I am, you're going to get a fight. That's the last fight I have. The last battle I have is for my own existence. not simply biologically speaking, but in terms of who I am, my soul, my mind, my reason. And that's and that might be a futile battle, folks, because I can imagine in that kind of Solzhenitsyn sense that none of us is going to rise up, that we're going to hear our neighbors scream in the night, we won't care. That's how courageous I think America is now. I know some of you would like to romantically believe otherwise, but I think that may be bullshit. I think we will allow our neighbors to be taken away because they're freaks, because they don't fit. What I can tell you is I'll never countenance that. I will never join a movement, frankly, any political movement, period, but I will never, ever participate in that bullshit. As long as you are treating other people with respect, as long as you're not abusing children and animals, who you are and what you are is your own fucking business. And I will believe that till the day I die. What is sad about living in Seattle these days is nobody believes that about people like me. And so I'm going to leave you with that on this Friday afternoon, on its way to a Friday night. I hope you guys have a good evening wherever you are. And if you're in the middle of some winter storm, I hope you find warmth. If you're in the middle of some heat wave, like in Australia, I hope you find some respite from that, some cool air. And above all, I hope you all find peace and love and liberty and dignity. Good night.